Says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I'll guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as an horse or as a mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Thank the Lord for the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, we come here this morning because this is the place, dear Lord God, that you've provided for us. Every soul in here, dear Lord God, was known before the foundation of the world that they'd be here this morning. Pray that you'll bless us, dear Lord God, as the pastor comes by and brings the word, dear, that we'll become one with that word. You send him here, dear Lord Jesus, and we know it's for our help, dear Jesus. Be with the saints who are unable to be here. You know exactly where they are, Brother Jack and his family and those visiting up there in Georgia. Be Brother Caleb, dear Lord God. They're well missed, dear Jesus, but you knew this day had to come. May you bless us now as we just want to sit in your presence, dear Lord, and have you just fill us with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Only you take my breath away. Only you take my breath away. Nobody else but you take my breath away. Then you breathe new life into me. So breathe into me, Lord, breathe into me. So breathe into me once again and again and again. Once again, and again, and again. So breathe into me. Lord, breathe into me. So breathe into me. Once again, and again, and again. Oh, once again, and again, and again. Oh, once again, and again, and again. Once again. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good. Amen. Amen. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I worship you, Lord, and I give you grace. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Lord, I give you praise, for it's you that I embrace. Oh, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I worship you, Lord, and I give you praise. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Lord, I give you praise, for it's you that I embrace. I adore you, Father. I appreciate your love. I embrace your presence. I embrace your spirit. I embrace your holiness. For it's you that I embrace. I adore you, Father. I appreciate your love. I embrace your presence. I embrace your spirit. I embrace your holiness. For it's you that I embrace. For it's you that I embrace. Amen.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed songs he's given to us. Amen. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. Oh, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. Oh, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Glory.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
My God. He's worthy. Oh, my. Great is your mercy toward me. Your love and kindness toward me. Your tender mercies I see day after day. Forever faithful toward me, always providing for me. Great is your mercy, I see. Great is your grace. Great is your mercy toward me. Your loving kindness toward me. Your tender mercies I see day after day. Forever faithful toward me. Always providing for me. Great is your mercy, I see. Great is your grace. Great is his grace, huh? My God. I hear them guys sing that song. That is so powerful. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. Yes, great is his grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we're here today because all I want to do is bless your name. Bless your name for all you've done. All I want to do is give you praise. Give you praise always. And bless your holy name. Oh, all I want to do is bless your name. Bless your name. For all you've done, all I want to do is give you praise. Give you praise always. And bless your holy name. Once more. Oh, all I want to do is bless your name. Bless your name. For all you've done. Oh, all I want to do is give you praise. Give you praise always, and bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus.
Bless his holy name. My God. Look.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. My God. My God. Amen. Just sing a couple verses of this. It says, because he lives. Because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Once more. Because he lives, oh, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory. Because he lives. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing this little song as we get ready for the offering here. You may be seated. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
Hey, Father, we truly want to thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, for the songs that you've given us to sing, Lord Heavenly Father, that Heavenly Father, that reflect you and what we should be singing in church, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for each and every heartbeat, Lord. As I thank, Lord, back through the week and through my life, Lord, and just think of the heartbeats, Lord, the breath you take, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, just the time that we think or we kneel down, Lord, just to pray to you, Lord, Heavenly Father, that is not nearly enough, Lord. We just want you to just be countless, Lord, just as we take a breath, Lord. Lord, we just want to be praying to you, Lord. Lord, you say in your words, Lord, that we should pray all the time and never cease, Lord. This is where we want to come to, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the minister, Heavenly Father, to bring this word. Lord, we ask you, Heavenly Father, that we give us an ear, Lord, that we may hear, Lord. Just not to see, Lord, but just to hear your words. Not him, Lord, but your words in him, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we take this offering, Lord, we just want you to bless it, Lord. Bless those that give, Lord. And help us to realize, Lord, how much we are blessed, Lord, because we don't want to be just mindless people not knowing what you've done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life change. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave, Sister Bruce. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm alive. That was change. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
God bless you, saint. Y'all pray with me this morning. Kind of nervous. I always am nervous. God forbid that I ever come up before God's people and not be nervous. You get caught up in yourself and you make a mess. But the song that I'd like to do is a song from the CD, Put It All in the Hands of the Lord. And if you're bound up today in any way, I pray that it be a song to help you. It was birthed through a time when I was going through great distress in my mind. I was bound up over a situation where I had been wronged. And without a doubt, I had been wrong, but I was defenseless in it, and that thing had began to consume me. I was oppressed, depressed, and I just couldn't break through with it. And I just remember one night I was still at Okeechobee at the time, and I was riding to church by myself, and I was just crying out before the Lord, Lord, I need deliverance in this. Yes, this person did me wrong, but I can't carry it, and it's taking me over. I need deliverance in it. And just a simple thought, putting it all in the hands of the Lord, putting it all in the hands of the Lord, that came to me, and that song was birthed on the way to Okeechobee that night. And the minister preached, Brother Smiley preached, and I was truly delivered that night, and that spirit left me. So I pray that it'll be would minister to you today.
Around you, raging like never before. Pressures within your mind build up, overflow. Inside you have no peace. Your spirit seeks release. You gotta put it all in the hands of the Lord. That friends will come to offer some relief. You're looking for something that will ease your pain and grief. Your friends can't fix this for you. They're in a battle too. So put it all in the hands of the Lord. Yeah, yeah, put it all in His hands. In those burden right there. Oh, His peace is your reward. Lay your head upon His breast. There your soul will find its rest. When you put it all in the hands of the Lord. When it seems that things don't come out as they should, God's word is promised. It's still working for the good. One thing we can't forget, God's never failed us yet. So put it all in the hands of the Lord. Yeah, yeah, put it all in His hands. In those healing hands of the Lord. burden right there. Oh, his peace is your reward. Lay your head upon his breast. There your soul will find its rest. When you put it all in the hands of the Lord. Oh, lay down your heavy load at my Savior's feet. He wants to give you joy. In those healing hands of the Lord, when you place your burden right there, perfect peace is your reward. Lay your head upon his breast. There your soul will find true rest. When you put it all in the hands of the Lord. Yeah, yeah, put it all in his hands. In the healing hands of the Lord, when you place your burden right there, oh, his peace is your reward. Lay your head upon his breast. There your soul will find true rest. When you put it all in the hands, in the loving hands of, put it all in the hands of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In the hands of the Lord. My God. Thank you, Sister Bruce. No other hands. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. It's all right. My God. My God. Sister Michelle.
Doesn't look like he's able to get it. Do you have your songbook? Do you have a songbook?
Never climb a mountain so I can see the world from there. I may never ride the waves or taste the salty ocean air or build a bridge that will last 100 years. But no matter where the road leads, one thing is always clear. I am blessed, I am blessed. From when I rise up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I feel you near me, you soothe me when I'm weary. Oh Lord, for all my worst and all my best, all along the road I've traveled, I have crawled and I have run. I have wandered through the rain until I found the sun. The watching eyes ask me why I walk the narrow way. I gladly give the reason for the hope.
Bless. Thank you, Sister Michelle. My God. Glory. Thank you, Lord. It's all right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are blessed. Yes. Many didn't get up this morning. My God, we are blessed. Ooh. Thank you, Lord God. As welcome the pastor, welcome our brother to the pulpit here. We'll just sing, help me sing in the presence of Jehovah, my God. In the presence of
Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, and hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
Let's just sing that one more time. Welcome His presence. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Let's just sing this. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you. We're singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you.
Love Him this morning.
Amen. Amen. He's certainly mindful of us.
Amen.
Sure appreciated the specials this morning. Sister Burrs appreciated that. Always love to hear Sister Burrs sing. And Sister Michelle, I'm blessed. We are blessed. I spoke to the group in Boynton this morning, and I was telling them, sometimes we don't think about how blessed we really are. Many times we let it become common to us how blessed we are. Many people long to have a Bible that they can just have of their own. And in other countries, in the communist countries and things, sometimes they have it to where they don't have their own Bibles. Or as Brother Henry and I were talking last night, some of the Catholic churches and things keep the Bibles from their people. And they just want the priest to read the Bible to them and the individuals not to have the Bibles because they're trying to conquer the laity. But I'm thankful that we have it, and not only that, but we have the message, and we have the books and the tapes in our own language. We're a privileged people. I told him, you know, I've got a lovely Christian wife and two healthy young boys, and they're millionaires and billionaires that would give every dollar that they have to have what I have. We're blessed, amen? To have a wife that's not running around on them to bars and sleeping with other men, and to have a child that's healthy and can have a normal life. We're blessed. Sometimes we let it become common to us, but we're blessed. There are many, you know, rich men out here, but they look at us sometimes and we're really the rich ones. Many are out there searching and searching for something, trying to quench a thirst with alcohol or drugs or nicotine, or they can't quench that thirst, and we've found what they're looking for. We've been blessed to come to the truth. We're blessed. I don't want to keep you standing too long. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2. And it's certainly a blessing to be with you again. I always enjoy coming to Florida, and especially fellowshipping with Brother Jack. He's a very, very special friend, and I sure appreciate him. I don't know how he does it. I sometimes, you know, just coming week in and week out, you may not realize it, but I don't know if I could do all that he does. He's a very precious brother. To be a full-time pastor and have a full-time job and a full-time family, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's hard for me just to find enough time to study and go a few places as an evangelist, and he's pastoring week in and week out. It's hard to find the time to study and to dig into the Word like he does with a full-time job and trying to be with his family and everything. It's you're blessed to have a pastor like him. He's a good brother. Not only that, but he sticks with this message, and that's the main thing. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It seems like a small verse, but if we could just capture all the meaning that's in that verse, it would be enough to do us a lot of good. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand here this morning an unworthy people, Lord, and I, your unworthy servant, Father, trying to speak to this group of people, Father, something that would try to help them along their way. Father, I ask you just to be with us this morning. Lord, we've invited your presence here, Lord, and we know that you are here because you said wherever two or three are gathered together that you'd be in our midst, Lord, and we believe it, Father. Lord, we just ask you to be with Brother Jack, Father, as he's speaking in Georgia this morning. Lord, just anoint his lips to speak to the people there. May they receive a blessing. Father, protect him and his family as they travel home. Lord, just be with me this morning. Father, help me to get myself out of the way so that I could say something to these, Lord, your people, Father, your children. Lord, I believe a portion of the bride of Jesus Christ is assembled here this morning, Father. Lord, just be with us in all that we do. Lord, help me in all that I say. May I say something, Lord, that would be pleasing to you, Lord, and something that would be a help, Lord, to your children. Lord, we're all a needy people, Father. Every one of us has needs, Lord, whether it's physical or spiritual or financial. Lord, each one has a need, Father. I just ask that you'd be with us this morning, Lord. Lord, you're mindful of us, Lord. You can meet those needs, Father. Lord, just help me to say something this morning that would minister to those needs of your people, Father. Be with us in all that we do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Pray for my throat. I've been fighting a sinus infection for a little over a week now and lost my voice completely one day last week, and Just trying to get my voice back to where it should be, and it's not back 100% yet. And preached at Boynton Beach this morning, their 8 a.m. service, and left straight there to come here. And going to preach here this morning, Lord willing, and then try to go back there tonight at 6 o'clock to preach. So it's a lot on your voice. Three services normally. I've actually never done three services in one day before, but then with my voice already kind of hoarse, just pray that my voice holds out. You know, I was telling this morning that you know, the psalmist David, he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I want to use every breath that I have to praise him. I was in South Carolina ministering recently and came back to the hotel. There was a woman sitting there or standing outside of the hotel, outside of the door there, and she had one of these little carts that haul around the bottles of oxygen and had those oxygen tanks sitting on there with big labels that say flammable, sitting there smoking a cigarette and had the oxygen tube in her nose and couldn't hardly breathe. And whenever she'd go to take a puff, she'd go like that and then breathe out. Couldn't hardly get her breath, but was using every breath she had to get another puff. So addicted to that nicotine devil. And you know, there's many like that. I have a good friend that actually knows this message, and as young men, he thought, you know, that he was going to be cool or do something to calm his nerves, and he started smoking a few here and there, and I told him, I warned him, I said, buddy, you better stop or you're going to get to the point where you can't stop. And, oh, no, I can stop anytime I want, and now he's smoking about 2 packs a day and can't stop. Can't stop. He'd like to now, I'm sure. I can't hardly afford it, but... Brother Branham said, you know, you're just putting cancer in your body. Cancer by the carload. People just smoke them away anyhow. But that woman standing there, you know, couldn't hardly breathe, but every breath she had, she was wanting to get another suck off of that cigarette. And I thought, my, I'm so thankful that God has given me a desire to use my breath to serve him. Whether it's in singing or testifying or preaching, whatever it is that we can do, we should be doing it for him. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have our next breath. So we're blessed. And a lot of times we let things become common to us, but he blesses us. I'm thankful for it. I want to speak to you this morning on the quickening power. The quickening power. And there are two types of people that Brother Branham talks about. And I'll kind of go through each group. He talks about several different people in the message. He'll tell different stories of people that he came in contact with and how they passed away. And he talks about one woman that she was a Methodist Sunday school teacher. And he said that she knew a lady there at the tabernacle, and her name was Lucille McCourtney. And Lucille McCourtney said, you know, she was just a real sold-out Christian, and my, she was real holiness. And he said she had her hair slicked back like an onion peel. And he said that Methodist Sunday school teacher, she said, you know, why don't you cut that hair instead of doing it like that? And she said, you know, if you get rid of that old, you know, preacher that you've got, you know, you could do those things. And she said, I don't let my hair grow out because of my preacher. I do it because it's what the Bible says. If you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said if she's going to cut it at all, just shave the whole thing off. I said here one time, I believe, how many bald-headed women will we have walking around the message if they applied that? But they do it anyhow. Brother Branham preached against it, and the ministers cry out against it, and the Bible talks about it, but yet people still go on and do it. The Bible said it's an unhonorable thing for a woman to even pray with her hair uncovered. And so we find that this Methodist Sunday school teacher, she was make fun of Lucille McCourtney and call her a holy roller and all these different things. And we find that it came down a time to where she was dying. And Brother Branham said she had a social disease that she was dying of, a Methodist Sunday school teacher. And said she was laying there in the hospital and she cried for him to go get Lucille McCourtney to come pray for her. And her cigarette-sucking pastor was walking around out in the hall saying, give her a hypo to calm her down. Just stick her with the needle. Give her something to calm her nerves down, because she was screaming and crying for her to come pray. And my, the little Sunday school children had come out together around and see the angels come and pack their Sunday school teacher away. And she cried out and she said, I'm lost. She said, I'm lost. And that Sunday school teacher came in there, was trying to get the nurses to calm her down. And she said, you deceiver of man. She said, I'm lost and I'm going to hell, and it's because you wouldn't tell me the truth. My Lord. What a way to go, crying out, confessing that you were lost. My Lord. When it comes my time to go, I don't want to go like that. Amen. Amen. Jesus. He talks about another sister, or not a sister, I guess, but a woman. She was a Catholic girl, he said, and he said she came in and she was dressed inappropriately for a church service and had her body exposed. And he said he went down off the pulpit preaching and put his suit coat over top of her to cover her up. My Lord, my I've been in some churches where the ministers should have done that. And said she got up mad and stormed out of there, and she said, I wouldn't let my cow have the religion that William Branham has. A few hours later, we find her screaming, begging him to come pray for her. And he went to pray for her, and her husband said that she died before he got there, and her husband said she screamed your name with her last breath, saying, get that preacher to pray for me. Said she suffered until the freckles stood out on her face like moles. Because she rejected the word. What a way to go. He talks about a man, Rabbi Lawson, and he said he was a minister, and he called him rabbi because he wore this little hat, and he said he was always just wanting to study the word and preach, and he said he didn't have a lot of charges, a lot that he was responsible for, but he said he held true to what he was responsible for, and that's the main thing. If we just, you know, some of us, everybody can't be the pastor, everybody can't be a minister, everybody can't be the song leader, but if we just hold true to whatever we're given as our charge, as the men in the Bible, you know, that had the different talents, you know, if you've got a talent to sing, then sing with all you got for the Lord. You can't take the pastor's job, the pastor can't take the prophet's job, but we've all got something that we're going to be held responsible for. If it's just to testify to somebody that we feel led to, we've got something that we're responsible for. And so this brother, you know, he studied the Bible all the time, and his wife thought, you know, that he should get out and work more and things instead of just sitting around and studying the Bible and trying to preach and things. And so one day she got mad at him, and they had an old wood stove there, and she grabbed the Bible and just threw it in the wood stove. Brother Ram said about a few months later, that around Christmas time, that same exact spot, the lady was putting up some ornaments on the Christmas tree, and the Christmas tree caught fire and burnt her and the whole house down. He said, you reap what you sow. Brother Ram talks about a woman, she was a Baptist girl, and he was preaching in a revival, and when he was preaching there, he felt led to call her out, and he called her out and was trying to get her to repent, and as she came out, I think she was a deacon's daughter, and after service, she said, don't ever embarrass me like that again, and he said, I wasn't trying to embarrass you. He said that the Lord was just telling me to, you know, to call you, that he was giving you a call, and so he said he was in the city again a year or two down the road later, and he said he was walking through kind of a bad part of town, and he said he saw this girl stand over on the side, and he said she was a prostitute, and he said that she had her skirt all pulled up and her shirt all pulled down, and you know, that is a prostitute spirit, Brother Branham said, when a woman starts doing that, and I see a lot of them out, you know, in Florida and Louisville and different places that I am, you know, and women walking around half naked, and they don't realize it's a prostitute spirit on them. He said she's a street prostitute. Inspired by Satan to send the sons of God to hell. And so he said this woman was dressed like that, and he said, surely that can't be that same woman. You know, it was a Baptist, deacon's daughter, and he said he walked up to her, and she said, you want to drink in my whiskey here? She had a bottle of whiskey, and he said, no, ma'am. And she said, well, you want to come up to my room? And he said, no, I sure don't. And she said, well, how about a puff of my cigarette? And she knew who he was. And he said, aren't you ashamed of yourself offering that to a man of God? As he got to talking to her, she asked if he remembered her, and he did. And she said, you know, that the Lord was calling me that night. She said, and I rejected it. And she said, since that time, my soul's got so dark that she said I could see my mother's soul fry like a pancake in hell and laugh at it. She'd been turned over to a reprobate mind, didn't even care. Not even any condemnation in her. Didn't have nothing in her to condemn her. And so, my, we find these that came to these different ends in their life that Brother Branham came in contact to. Many of them dying and screaming and begging for another chance. But we find he talks about another group of people. And we find that, you know, he said when Brother Bosworth, when he went to see him when he was dying, and he asked Brother Bosworth, he said, do you want me to pray for you? And Brother Bosworth said, I'm not sick. He said, what's the matter, Brother Bosworth? He said, I'm just going home. And Brother Branham asked him, he said, if you could, he said, of all the sermons you've preached, Brother Bosworth, and all the healings that you've seen and all that you've been down through your life, he said, what was the greatest moment of your life? And he said, the greatest moment is right now. Amen. He said, in just a few minutes, he said, I'm going to be taken into the presence of my Creator. Right now, the greatest experience. My, what a difference in contrast from those that were screaming and begging for mercy and saying that they were lost. There had to be something that made a difference. Brother Branham talks about Paul Rader, that wrote the song Only Believe, that Brother Branham had played in his meetings all the time. And he said, Paul Rader, he said he kind of had a sense of humor. And he said as the young children came in around his bed to sing as he was going, they were singing some old slow songs. And he said, Paul Rader said, who's dying here, me or you? He said, play me some snappy gospel songs. He said his own mother, Brother Branham's mother, when she got down to where she couldn't even hardly talk, and she was in the hospital laying there, and he said he'd go to her and stay with her there at the hospital. And he said when she got down to where she couldn't talk anymore, he asked her, he said, Mother, he said, if you still love Jesus as much as you do when you first got saved, he said, just blink your eyes. And he said she'd blink her eyes as fast as she could. It still meant as much to her. So there had to be something that separated these two groups of people. Let's turn, if you would, over to St. John. St. John, and we'll read chapter 11. St. John, chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister, Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now wait a minute. Can you imagine the shock of the disciples as one came running a few days later and told them that Lazarus had died? But here Jesus is telling them this sickness is not unto death. Maybe one of them turned around to the other and said, oh, he missed it that time. Maybe they said, well, you know, he didn't say thus saith the Lord, so maybe he was just talking. No, Jesus didn't have to say thus saith the Lord. Everything he said was thus saith the Lord because he was the Lord. You know, one time Brother Collins talks about when he first met Brother Branham in Macon, Georgia, and he went to the meeting there and his first experience meeting Brother Branham, he said, Brother Branham got up on the platform and he said, if I ever tell you anything in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass, he said, you call me a false prophet. And he said that was he'd never heard a man make a statement like that. And he said he got up there and he said he was going through the prayer line and he called out this woman. He told her what her name was and what her street address was, where she lived. And he said there was two women sitting in front of him and they turned around to one another and said, oh, he missed it that time. Mm-hmm. Said, you know her, that's Sister So-and-so. And he thought, my, well, I've got to find out. You know, this man just said, if I ever tell you anything in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass, call me a false prophet. Okay. He said, I've got to find out whether this is the truth or not. So he got those three women together, and he said, Sister, you said that what he said wasn't the truth, that this woman didn't live there. And she said, oh, Susie, you know you don't live at that address. You know, they were friends with her. They knew. They thought they knew more about it than the prophet did. And so she turned to him, and she said, oh, honey, she said, I didn't tell you. I moved 2 weeks ago. The prophet knew more about it than her own friends did. He didn't miss it. He didn't miss it one time. Elijah, one time, you know, he had prophesied that Ahab would be killed and that the dogs would lick his blood. Well, I'm sure many of them, when they went out there to fight at Ramoth-Gilead there, and during the battle, there Ahab gets slain, and I'm sure they were all looking around for some dog to run out from somewhere and lick his blood, but it didn't happen. Maybe some of them turned around and said, you know, old Elijah missed it that time. He said a dog was going to lick his blood. But then a little armor bearer takes his chariot back to the pool of Samaria, all the way back to their own hometown, and he's washing that blood out in the pool of Samaria, and here comes a dog along and licks up the blood. Maybe only one man saw that, but the word of God came to pass regardless. It might not have happened like they thought it was going to happen. Everybody might not have seen it. It might not have been in the newspapers and on the internet, but it happened either way. Amen. He didn't miss it. And see, Jesus didn't miss it here either. He said, Lazarus' sickness is not unto death. Then Lazarus dies, but they didn't understand what death meant. Brother Branham said, Christians do not die. There is no scripture in the Bible that says Christians die. He said, a person that lives in pleasure is dead while they are living. He said, death means separation from God. Yes, so Lazarus, he dies, or so they think, but Jesus goes and he raises him. He was quickened. He wasn't dead. Jesus said he sleepeth, but, you know, eventually he had to say it in their own language to where he said, you know, he's dead to you, but Lazarus wasn't really dead because a Christian doesn't die. Like the song Sister Bird sings. My. We're not going to die. We're just going to be changed. It's just going to take us to our theophany. Death, don't be afraid of death. Death is just something that's going to pack us into the presence of our Creator. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to be afraid of death. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you might have something to be afraid of. So we find that these two groups of people, one died screaming for mercy and saying that they were lost, but there was another group that they weren't afraid of death. And no doubt when Mary and Martha sent for Lazarus, you know, and Jesus couldn't go because the Father had already shown him what had to happen. And he went there, you know, and he hadn't gone. It had been 4 days. And Brother Bram says, my, if we called the pastor, you know, and some of our loved ones was sick and he didn't come and pray and they died, my, we'd hunt us up a new pastor. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He was led of the Lord. Sometimes things happen in the church we don't understand, but just have confidence. If your pastor's got the Holy Ghost, he's led of the Lord. Just have confidence in him. Brother Branham said in respects, he said, if you can't respect a man, respect the office. He said, if God sent you a pastor and he's brought you this way, he can bring you on the rest of the way. He said, just understand that he's a man, he's going to make mistakes, but that he's anointed of God for that position. And so we find that he comes and, you know, he speaks and he calls Lazarus' name. And Brother Branham said, if he wouldn't have called Lazarus' name, that all the graves would have opened up. We find one, there was one named Peter. And Peter was a message believer of his day. And he believed the message. He was following the Messiah. And he believed he was the Messiah. And revelation had told him, Brother Bram says, you know, that it was the revelation from God that it wasn't, Jesus wasn't just a prophet and he just wasn't a good man, but he was the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father is in heaven hath revealed it to you. But we come along, and Peter, you know, he was a typical message believer. He believed the word, and he followed the Messiah for his day, and he had laid aside everything and left his fishing nets and his friends and come to follow Jesus, and he had followed him along, and he was a pretty good message believer. But one day Jesus turns to him, and he says, Simon, in 3 days, they're going to take the Son of Man, and they're going to, with wicked hands, crucify him, and you're going to deny me. And he said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll go with you to death. So he didn't really believe like he thought he believed. Because here Jesus was telling him something, he's contradicting it. And so this man who never thought he would deny Christ, he'd followed him, he'd left everything, forsaken everything to be a part of his message, and he's following along with him, and then his circumstances begin to change. And men come and they take the Messiah away from him, and he doesn't understand because he was looking for Jesus to come and restore the kingdom and take over the world right then, and he didn't realize what dispensation he was living in. It wasn't time for that. Jesus had come for a sacrifice, to make a sacrifice so that we could have fellowship with God, because man had fallen and we had broken that fellowship. And so as they come and they take him away, he doesn't understand. He's seen him do miracle after miracle. He's seen him raise the dead. He's seen him create fish and bread where there wasn't any fish and bread, just breaking it off and more appearing and more appearing. And he's fed 5,000 and he's healed the sick and the lepers and the lame. And he's raised Jairus' daughter and on the miracles that he's seen him do. And not only that, but he's given Peter the keys to the kingdom. And Peter's gone out and cast out devils himself in his name. And Peter's seen the Lord working in his own ministry. And all of a sudden he sees that they're taking his Messiah. And they take him and he doesn't understand why he's letting them beat him and letting them spit on him and letting them rip the beard from his face. And he starts to question, maybe, was this really the Messiah? And he starts to stand there and watch, and they rip the blood They rip the beard from Jesus' face, and the blood runs down his face, and they spit on his face, and they put a crown of thorns on him, and Peter stands there and watches him as Jesus, from getting beat, his face begins to swell, and the thorns begin to press into his head. He's standing there, and they're mocking him and hitting him on the head with a stick, saying, you know, you're supposed to be a fortune teller. Tell us who hit you on the head. He knew before the foundation of the world who was going to hit him on top of the head. But he didn't clown for nobody, Brother Branham said. So he stood there, and Peter was watching him from a distance, you know, warming his hands by the fire. And one comes around and says, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? We saw you with him. He says, no, I'm not one of his disciples. And goes on a little further, and a woman comes and says, I recognize him. He's a Galilean. He was with Jesus. He says, no, I'm not one of them. This man who had left everything to come and follow Jesus, but suddenly the one that was creating the loaves and the fishes and healing the sick and raising the dead and everything was wonderful. You know, they thought he had power to just stop the world if he wanted, which he did. But now all of a sudden they're beating him and they're spitting on him, and Peter doesn't understand, because where everything was rolling along just nice for him, now it seems like everything's just turned upside down. Many times, you know, we see a lot of believers around the message or claim to be believers. They'll go along for a while, and as long as everything's going good, you know, praise God, I'm prospering and God's blessing me since I came to this message. But then they hit a time where sickness hits the family, or where the economy comes and they fall into poverty or this or that, and they start to slowly slip away, and we see that they didn't have the real seed down in them. They couldn't handle a little persecution. And so as Peter goes along, and another person comes to him and he says, you know, weren't you one of his disciples? And he starts to curse even, and how things have changed. This man who is casting out devils is all of a sudden swearing and cursing and denying the very Lord that he claimed to serve. And I can just imagine the feeling on Peter was, you know, that rooster crowed the third time. And the Bible said, I believe it's in St. Mark, that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Oh, can you imagine how Peter's heart must have sank after, there's no way I'll deny you, Lord. He knew that he was a message believer. He knew that he'd never turn his back on his Savior, but he was walking along there, and the circumstances begin to change, and now this one that he claimed to be the Messiah is getting his beard ripped out of his face, and there's spit dripping from him and blood running down his forehead, and no doubt, you know, Peter turns and looks, and Jesus turns around and looks at him and catches his eye, and there he is standing there, worn and tired. He's been up all night praying, and now they've been beating him and whipping him, and Brother Branham said they whipped him till his ribs shone through his skin, and till you couldn't even recognize him as a human being. And he turns and he looks at Peter as if to say, I told you, Peter, but you didn't believe me. How Peter must have felt. We feel that way sometimes when we realize, Lord, we've fallen and we've done this or that, and we know we shouldn't have, but then you know, we just kind of feel that little nudge from Jehovah and that little touch on our heart of that condemnation, and we think, Lord, I failed you. How Peter must have felt that he failed him after all that he'd been through, after all that he'd seen, and after even Peter had had his own ministry and seen the results in his own ministry, but then all of a sudden he's denying him. How Peter must have felt. And then they take him and they crucify him and he dies. And Peter's walking along and he doesn't know what to think. Doesn't know what to believe anymore. Was he wrong? Was this not the Messiah? How could this happen? He's in the, you know, the most turmoil that he's been in his life. Then a few days later, we find that some women go to the tomb and they're going to anoint Jesus' body. No doubt they've still got the images from the crucifixion still impressed in their mind, and maybe they've been waking up in the middle of the night having nightmares about it and saying, you know, what has he done? What has he done to deserve it? And they wake up in a cold sweat and seeing Jesus hanging there on a cross, bleeding and bloody again. They can't get it off their mind. This one that they followed and fellowshipped with and raised their dead and healed their sick and provided them food when they didn't have any, paid their taxes when they couldn't afford it, told them where a fish was. Amen. He's still got fish, amen? Amen. My God can provide all our needs. Amen. And so Peter goes along, and Peter doesn't know what to think. The very one he's claimed to serve is now dead and laying in a tomb in Jerusalem. And so these women, they go, and they're thinking about these images that they've seen of the crucifixion and how he died on the cross, and how he was praying for him to, "Father, forgive the very ones that was screaming for his blood." And they go along, and they're wanting to anoint his body, and they're, no doubt they're thinking in their mind, "Why will we even be able to get into the tomb? We'll have to have somebody to help us roll the stone away." But the stone was already rolled away. Maybe they're thinking, you know, after seeing his body beaten like that, maybe they're dreading even seeing the body again, as scarred and as beaten and as torn as it was. And they don't want to have to see him like that again, but they feel a burden on their heart to go anoint him with oil and to anoint his body for the burial. And as they go there, you know, expecting maybe the soldiers to run him off or not knowing what to expect, but they come and there's men in white robes sitting on the stone, and it's already rolled away. And they said, "This one that you're searching for, he's not here, but go and he'll meet you in Galilee. And oh, tell Peter." Name Peter specifically. Can you imagine how Peter felt when they came back and said, "He's risen"? And he said, "To tell you, Peter, he's called your name specifically." No doubt Peter felt unworthy. "Are you sure it was me? I'm the one that denied him. Are you sure it wasn't James or maybe John? John stayed right there with him till the end. And John was the younger one that laid on his bosom. Surely he said John." No, he said you, Peter. He called your name. He named you specifically. Let me say this to you. If you've come to this message and you've accepted this and you're walking in all the light that you know, and God's given you the Holy Ghost, he called you specifically. It don't matter how far in sin that you stooped. It don't matter where you came from or what you did. Amen. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He called you specifically. Yes. Your name was on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You say, "Oh, I was saved back in 2001. I was saved back in 1990. I was saved back in 1982. No, you were saved before the foundation of the world. Amen. You just accepted it then. If you're his, you was always his. You was always a part of him. Amen. You were part of those attributes that was in him in the beginning. He called your name specifically. And so then Peter comes along, and even after all this, you know, they come and they tell Peter. Then Thomas says, "You know, if it's really him, I've got to touch him, touch his side and touch his hands and to feel him." And Thomas has touched him and seen him, and they've all seen him two or three times. And even after all that, Peter says, "You know, well, even though he's risen, I just don't feel worthy anymore to go back into the ministry. I'm just going to get my fishing hook and my string and go back and go fishing." Excuse me. And so he goes, and he's going to just go back to fishing. He doesn't feel worthy to have a ministry anymore after what he did. And they go fishing, and one comes walking to him and says, "Come and dine. The food's already prepared." And he begins to talk to Peter, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Do I love you, Lord?" "Yes, I love you." He waits a little while longer as maybe they're sitting there eating the fish and says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Lord, you know I love you." A little later on that night, he asks him again, "Peter, do you love me?" No doubt by this time, Peter's thinking, "You know, Lord, are you discerning something on my heart? Is there something I don't know? I sure think I love you, Lord." But see, he had denied him three times, and he had to confess him three times. Brother Ram said, if you start down this road, you know, and you're going further away from God and further away from God, if you're his, he's going to bring you back eventually, but you're going to have to come back down that road, and you're going to have scars and memories and things from these sins that you've committed, and you've got to come back however far you strayed away. You say, "Well, I was raised in a Christian home, and I've got to go out there and try it for myself." No, you don't. No, you don't. If you do, Satan will fight you the rest of your life about it. He'll try to make you feel unworthy. He'll bring those memories back to you, and He'll keep pointing you back to that and pointing you back to that, but don't look at your mistakes. Look at your sacrifice. Peter wasn't worthy. I wasn't worthy. None of us were worthy, but we had one that was worthy, that came and died for us to take away our sins. So he tells him, you know, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord. And he says, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. When I'm converted, here I am. I've walked with you and I've talked with you. I've cast out devils in your name. And yet Jesus is saying Peter's not even converted yet. He was a good message believer and he left everything and forsook everything for Jesus. But he hadn't had the Holy Ghost yet. Brother Bram said, you're not really converted until you get the Holy Ghost. And so we find that Peter goes up on the day of Pentecost, and they're waiting there in the upper room, and they've got the doors locked, and they're scared that maybe the soldiers are going to come and take them away. Thank you, Brother Mike. They're scared, you know, that the soldiers are going to come maybe and take them away for being his followers. And they're in there with the doors locked. They've been in there for 10 days. And Brother Bram said they didn't eat or drink anything for 10 days. We would have left after about 4 hours and had to have some Burger King. But they waited until they were endued with power from on high. Jacob, one time, he got a hold of the Lord, and the Lord tried to leave. He said, I got to leave. The sun's coming up. I got to go. And he said, no, I'm not going to let you go till my circumstances change. I'm not going to let you go until something changes around my house. I'm not going to let you go till you deliver me of this thing that I'm fighting. I'm not going to let you go until you heal my son or my daughter. I'm going to cling to the hem of your garment until you give me what I have need of this morning. I'm going to stay until... So Peter and the disciples are there, and all of a sudden there comes a sweeping lick of fire and falls down on all of them, and they go out in the streets, and now suddenly these that were scared to death and in the locked doors go out in the street and are testifying of Jesus, telling what's happened to them. What made the difference? All of a sudden these ones that were scared to say anything about Jesus and that was scared to go in the house without keeping the doors locked and scared to even be seen because they might be crucified as well. Suddenly they're going out and they're counting it all blessing to die for his name. And they're going out there and they're telling the people what Jesus has done and how he was risen. And they're testifying and spreading the gospel. And thousands and thousands and thousands start to come in to see the light and to convert to Christianity. What made the difference? The quickening power. In just a few hours, everything was changed. One minute they're sitting there behind locked doors, and the next minute they're going out telling everybody. Stephen's going out there and being stoned, and he's got the Spirit of Christ. You can tell because he says the same words that Jesus said when he was dying. Forgive him, Father. Amen. I heard a brother say recently, he said, I think after the first stone, I would have picked up a stone myself and said, I'm going to save my life for Jesus. But they were in a different dispensation than we are. They were in that ox age, and they were giving their life for the gospel. I'm glad I didn't have to go through that age, all those martyrs and seeing their children eat by lions and hung on crosses and mothers weeping and screaming as the lions tore apart their babies and men being burned at the stake. And if you've ever read that Fox's Book of the Martyrs, you'll get an idea of what they went through. It's hard to even read some of the things that they put the early Christians through. But we're fighting a spiritual warfare today. We're bombarded constantly by television and pornography and half-dressed women and everywhere you turn, alcohol advertisements or cigarette advertisements or people trying to justify homosexuality and they're trying to numb us to it, to where it's just, you know, more accepted and more accepted and more accepted, and can't watch any program on television without there being a gay or a lesbian relationship on there. And they're trying to numb the people to where it's just a common thing, to where it's not that big a deal, you know. so-and-so is, you know, they're homosexual and they're pretty good people or whatever, but trying to numb our senses to it. Got to a point in Sodom where it wasn't no big deal anymore. Everybody was homosexual. The angels came and they knocked on the door and even wanted to bring them out so that they could know them. But Lot said, don't do this. Anybody that can't read that and know that he's talking about homosexuality is blind spiritually. Paul comes over in Romans 1 and he says that they had given up their natural affections and man with man and woman with woman. They try to explain it away and to change the translations into forms that, you know, are watered down and don't offend nobody. They're trying to come out with the Bible now, you know, that won't offend nobody. Won't offend the Jews, won't offend the Catholics, won't offend the Protestants, won't offend the queers, won't offend the this one or that one. You know, I want a Bible that tells me the truth. Even if it tears my hide up, I want to know what the truth is. I don't want it watered down. Many around the message, you know, I've heard of some brothers, you know, that they have the pillar of fire picture in their church and they take it down because they don't want it to offend nobody. If that's going to offend somebody, then, you know, they don't even need to be coming around a message church. I'm proud to be identified with that picture. My God came down and had his picture taken with my prophet. But they're trying to water it down so it don't offend nobody. Don't read the quotes. It might offend somebody. Well, if that offends them, they need to be offended. Don't preach on homosexuality. It might offend somebody. Somebody might have a cousin or a niece or a nephew. Well, bring them to church and get them saved, and they'll get that thing away from them. God can deliver them just the same as he can deliver you with smoking or drinking or drugs. But most of them don't want to be delivered, just like most of them out here don't want to be delivered of smoking or drinking or whatever, because it's the spirit of the age. But they went out and they were testifying. They weren't ashamed anymore. Many of us, you know, it seems like we're ashamed to testify or ashamed to say anything about the Lord or about the message. I'm proud to be identified with it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ or his messenger, William Branham. Brother Branham talks about in the third seal, he said there was the oil and the wine, you know, hurt not the oil or the wine. He said that oil represented the Holy Spirit, but but he said the wine represented stimulation or revelation. Many times anymore we set like bumps on a log and we don't get excited about it anymore, but I'm glad that the word still stimulates me. It still excites me. I'm still excited about the word. There's not a day that I don't read a chapter in the Bible or listen to a message that something don't stand out to me new that I never caught before. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that it hasn't got common to me. I'm thankful that I haven't got to the place where nobody can teach me and to where I can't learn nothing more. When we get to that place, then we need to start all the way back over again. But it was the quickening power that made the difference. The reason some of these men that, you know, were scared to death before, all of a sudden now would go and give their lives and be crucified or torn by lions or burned by fire. The difference was the quickening power. They had the Holy Ghost now, and they weren't ashamed of it. There was two on the road to Emmaus that time, and they had heard of the crucifixion and been there, and one came and started walking amongst them, and they no doubt, you know, were discussing the events a couple of days before, and as they were walking along, you know, and discussing how these things could be, but one joined himself to him and started walking to him and said, why are you so sad? And they said, you must be a stranger if you haven't heard what happened. And they started relaying to him the events of how they'd taken Jesus and how they beat him and killed him. And he said, well, that sounds just like over in Isaiah and Ezekiel and different scriptures. He began to reveal to him how that they would betray him and how that they would take him and they would get a certain amount of money and they would give it to the potter's field. And all this was, you know, through the Bible, all these prophecies, how he would be, his hands and his feet would be pierced. And he started to reveal to them the scriptures and to show them what had really happened. And he made himself known unto them. How happy they must have been when they realized. Many times he walks right amongst us, you know, and maybe not in a in a nail-scarred body like we could seem like that. But many times, you know, the pastor will be up speaking something and we'll have a need and the minister will minister to that need. Or maybe we'll be going along depressed and sad and somebody call and say, hey, I just felt led to call you and see how you were doing. Or, you know, maybe be going through something and looking for an answer from God and turn on a tape and the answer be right there. Amen. I was driving down the road the other day and I've been praying a lot about my ministry. I feel like I'm not doing as much as I should, and I feel like I'm just restless. Like I want to do more, but I want to make sure it's the Lord, and I don't want to try to open up doors. I want the Lord to open the doors and make sure it's Him. And I don't know where His perfect will is for me. I'm praying and searching and trying to see, you know, where He would have me to be, what He wants me to do for Him. And so I was praying and struggling with that, and just been real restless the last few months. And as I was going along there, I turned on a tape and got to the prayer line, and the first person on the prayer line, Brother Bram, said, you're a young minister. He said, do you believe I can tell you what's on your heart? And I said, yes, Lord, I believe you can tell me what's on my heart. He said, you've been praying about your ministry. He said, you've even been trying to get a personal interview with me. I would have loved to have had a personal interview with him. He said, will you believe me? And I said, yes, I'll believe. He said, stay where you're at. God's fixing to move you. So, amen, I believe it. If you've got a desire in your heart and you're looking for an answer for God, God will find a way to show you the truth if you'll just keep your eyes open and watch for it. When we're struggling and we're searching for something and looking for an answer, we'll turn open the pages of the Bible and it'll be right there. We'll pick up a message book and it'll be the first paragraph we look at. There's my answer right there. We'll call a brother and we'll be talking to him and he'll encourage us just exactly the way we need it at the right time. Or a sister get up and sing a song and maybe something that we're going through that nobody knows anything about, but God will minister to us through that. He's mindful of us. He's mindful of us. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, not we might be, but we are the sons of God. Ephesians 2:5-6 says, he hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not he will, not he might, but he hath raised us up together. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Brother Bram says in the Easter seal, 1965, he says, we're just as sure to raise as he raised, because potentially we have already raised in him. He said it makes the whole body come under subjection to the word. He says potentially you are resurrected. You're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're resurrected right then. Your body is potentially resurrected. He says this quickening power brings your body into a raptured condition already. My. So if you've got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid of missing the rapture. You are the rapture. Brother Branham said when he gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you everything you needed for your journey. You've got that quickening power in you. You don't have to worry, am I going to miss the body change? You are the body change. You've got it inside of you. That Holy Ghost inside of you, the very one that brought you to this truth and that changed you from your old sinful habits, he's the one that's going to change this body. We'll just be walking along one day. Brother Bram said, you know, we might not be doing some great spiritual thing. You women, you might just be ironing your clothes one day and all of a sudden look down and have taken a body change. You men might be out there, I don't know if any of you are carpenters, but might be out there just hammering away at something and all of a sudden look down and my hand looks a lot less wrinkled than it did yesterday. If you've got the Holy Ghost, don't you fear missing a rapture. Brother Bram says this, and it is the rising of the sun. He says, that's what Easter means to the people, risen with him. He said, notice, we have his spirit in us, the abstract deed fully paid. He says, no, you don't say, well, I hope I make it. You've already made it. Not I will make it. I've already made it. I never made it. He made it for me. Amen. Amen. Aren't you happy for that? I'm happy that I don't have to go around anymore wondering, you know, am I in the truth? You know, I know I've come to the truth. Amen. Yeah. This word is the truth. Yes. I'm not shopping anymore. I found what I was looking for. Amen. I found what so many out there are looking for today. You know, they're looking for this or they're looking for that, and they get all worked up into these denominational things that people have worked up, it's a lot of hooped up, and, you know, get the people worked up into emotion. But I'm so glad that I come to church and that God pours down His presence on me, and I don't have to work up the emotion. If it's God, you don't have to work it up. If it's God, the emotion will be there. Brother Bram said, if it's something that hasn't got emotion, you better bury it. It's dead. A lot of people get kind of scared around the message. They get a little scared to worship or praise too much. But I'm glad to see a people that's not afraid to worship the Lord. A people that's not afraid of who's sitting beside Him, what they're going to think, you know. If we're ashamed to worship our Lord, then we can't call ourselves Christians. We might as well just give it up and go home. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything, amen. They came to Jesus one time, and Brother Bram said wherever Jesus went, there was always noise. You know, noise followed Him. And he said they came to Him one time, and they was shouting Hosanna and throwing the leaves and everything down there in front of Him, and throwing their clothes for his mule to walk on there. And my, they were just excited that He was coming in. Hosanna, the King, and all this. There was a lot of noise, and the Pharisees were sitting over there and cold and starchy, and we know the word. We know the word. We can quote it better than you can. But can you live it? Can you make it manifested? A lot of people sit around the message and get so educationally, theologically involved in it that they've got it all figured out up here, you know, and they've got a mental perception of it. But when it comes to the life, do they live it? They sit like bumps on a log, won't say an amen, won't raise their hand and praise the Lord. We should be the happiest people in the world. We should be excited. I'm glad that I still have a desire in my heart to serve Him and to praise Him. Jesus said, if these don't praise me, then the rocks are going to praise me. I don't want no rock crying out for me. I don't want no rock taking my place. I want to praise Him as much as I can praise Him. I want to give Him the worship and the praise and the glory that He's deserved. If you don't, then He'll have to inspire somebody else to praise Him more for you. Don't work up some emotion and try to run around and shout and things. Brother Bram said, don't shout no higher than you live. But if God tells you, if God lays it on your heart, then don't hold it back. A lot of people came to the message and they got scared, you know, because we've been so worked up in Pentecost and things to where it was all just, you know, whoop up the music some more to get some people emotional and things like that. But we came out and now we're so scared that we're going to be emotional and scare somebody or hurt somebody's feelings. You can get emotional. It won't scare me. You can praise the Lord. It won't scare me. I didn't come to play church. I came to have church. Amen. If it's the real presence of the Lord, you don't have to whoop it up. The people already be excited about the word that's coming forth. It brings that stimulation of revelation. Amen. We shouldn't be ashamed to shout or to praise the Lord or raise our hands to Him. No, no. He's worthy of every bit of it. Brother Branham said, you know, he had questioned, you know, about the people dancing in Pentecost. And he said, you know, he got to wondering about that. And he said he never would say nothing against it because, he just didn't know if it was in the Word or not. And he said he was there that night, and he said they were at the tabernacle and they were singing, "There's going to be a meeting in the air." He said that little girl got out there and got to running around. He said, I sat there for a minute. I thought, you know, where's that in the Word? And then he said, I got to thinking about when they brought the Ark of the Covenant and David danced. And he said, I got to thinking then all of a sudden, you know, about when they came across the Red Sea there, that Miriam started dancing and all the children of Israel started dancing with her and playing the tambourines. He said, before I knew it, I was out there dancing with her. That was our prophet, amen. But a lot of people are scared to death of that. A lot of people, somebody shout hallelujah or scream, you know, they'll turn around and look, who was it? Some holy roller must have slipped in here for somewhere. That man told Brother Branham, he said, you know, it's so loud, all those people screaming in your meeting and stuff like that. He said, I nearly froze to death. He said, well, you better never. He said, whatever happens to you, he said, you're going to really freeze to death. Because he said, if you go to hell, there's going to be screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you go to heaven, there's going to be shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen. Blessed be the Lord all the time. Amen. So this is the quietest place you'll ever live. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand this morning. The quietest place will ever be. Either way we go, it's going to be louder one way or the other. Amen. I'm glad that I have a promise. Amen. I'm glad that because he lives, I'll live also. I'm glad that I don't have to fear death anymore. I'm glad that I don't have to fear missing the rapture or fear missing the body change. But I know that I'll raise because he raised. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Isn't he good to us? We don't deserve it sometimes, but he's so good to us. He's so mindful of our needs. I've seen just so many things lately in my own life that, you know, I'll go along and ask the Lord for something, and it seems like the Lord just works out whatever it is. It may not happen when we think it's going to happen. It may not happen the way we think it's going to happen, but he works it all out for our good. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never fail you. Many of your friends might fail you, your family might fail you, but he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never fail us. I sure appreciate what the Lord's done for us, and even just these services coming here, the way the Lord worked everything out, I just see the hand of God in it, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for seeing his hand in my life, just different things with my family and different things I see moving, and I see his presence with me, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm sure you do too. You know, it just seems like when we pray, sometimes we pray and we pray, and it seems like we can't get an answer. But then all of a sudden things start to work out, and we just see God moving here and God moving there and God working this out for our good and God working that out for our good. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful we serve a living God. Not a God that's buried in a tomb somewhere in Jerusalem, but a God that's alive and the same today that he always was. Oh, a lot of them say that the days of miracles are past, but you came too late to tell me. Brother Bram said, if you want to see a miracle, be a miracle. Amen? Amen. I'm a walking miracle. Amen? You're a walking miracle. God saved you. He's gave you the Holy Ghost. He's brought you out of whatever you were in and brought you to this truth. And he's healed your sick, and he's done so much for you. He's blessed you financially. He's blessed you physically. He's blessed you spiritually. He's given you your right mind. We're blessed. We're a walking miracle. Amen. Let's just sing that little song. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Oh, Master, my Savior, oh, Jesus, like a fragrance right after the rain. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. I know kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let's just sing it again. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about that name. My Master, my Savior, oh, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. You feel his presence here this morning? Lord, we're thankful for your presence this morning, Father. Lord, we're thankful for you, Father, because you've done so much for us, Lord. You've blessed us so much, Father God, even when we didn't deserve it, Father. Lord, you've blessed us and continue to bless us, Lord, and you've showed us this truth. Oh, we're so thankful for it this morning, Lord Jesus. We just want to say thank you, Father. We just want to give you praise and honor and glory for all that you've done for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just want to give you the honor and glory that you deserve, Father. Lord, help us to be living testimonies, Father, of your glory and your grace, Father. May we never be ashamed to give you glory or to testify about you, Father God. Oh, but just, Lord, use us in any way that you see fit, Father God. Lord, just be with us this morning, Father. Be with each one that was here, Lord. Be with the pastor on his way home, Father God. Just be with him, Lord, and give him a special blessing, Lord. And, Lord, just help him, Father, Lord, as he serves the people here, Father. Lord Jesus, just anoint him, Lord, and give him what he would have need of, Father, Lord, to be able, Lord, to counsel those that need counseling, Lord, Father. Give him wisdom, Father, to be able to bring the revelation of the word to the people, Lord. Just give him strength and wisdom, Lord, Father, and the revelation that he would have need of, Father God. Lord, just bless him and his family for their sacrifices, Father God. Bless the saints here, Lord, for their sacrifices, Lord, and for coming out, Lord, to the service, Father, Lord. Just meet each need, Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know this song? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh, Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, without him, how lost I would be. Let's sing it again as Brother Wisdom comes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you. Please don't turn him away, oh, Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost we would be. Man, did you enjoy the message this morning? Thank you, Brother Barrett. Oh, that was wonderful. Just hitting all the high points. My God, so much the Lord has done for us, and we have so much to be thankful for. Oh, my God. It's just wonderful to just have him go through the Bible like he did and just bring out all this. Sometimes you tend to forget about just how many things, and he's continual just doing things for us every day. Just to be here this morning. You know, many didn't get up today. Some are in the hospital. There's car accidents. Just you could go over all the problems that is in life just to be here with friends, dear Lord God, who love you. Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Glory. Glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Just have a closing prayer. Lord God, we know you're here visiting us this morning, dear Lord God. Everyone here heard something, dear Lord, that will uplift them and hold them until we can meet again, dear Lord God. We need these services, dear Lord Jesus, because just so many problems as you go through the week you have to deal with in people. We have no choice, dear Lord God, but just to look to you and try to bring you to them, and they're in their misery and they come to you with different problems. Help us, dear Lord God, to hold our head up high, knowing that you're the one who's keeping us. We can't do it on our own. Pray that you'll bless our brother as he have him get a little rest, dear Lord God. As his throat is tickling, I'm sure, but he just brought the messages perfectly because of you. Build him as he goes to Boynton this evening, and our pastor on the way back, our brother Caleb, all who were missing today, dear Lord God, you know the situation. Pray that you'll bless them. And be with us, dear Lord, during the week until we can meet again. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's name.